Hey guys, welcome back to whatever the fuck episode of this of the Tactical Buffaloes podcast. We have a very special guest on tonight. His name is Tyler. He doesn't like capitalism, and he's probably Caucasian. I'm not sure.
I'm Caucasian.
Okay,
we're all Caucasian.
That would have been really awkward if he wasn't.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was waiting for.
Do you
want to introduce yourself and give us a little bit of information about you, Tyler?
I'm essentially just an anarchist who doesn't like capitalism. I don't have any specific economic preference other than anti-capitalism, because I can go from like anything from the center of the spectrum all the way to the left. I don't really care.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
No, I feel like we're here to debate capitalism, or debate the evils of capitalism.
Let's discuss it.
Not debate, discuss.
Because I support capitalism just from like freedom perspective. I just think in a society, that's the most effective way to just maintain order and to fairly just, you know, like you get paid for what you work, you know. But there's definitely a lot of downfalls about it.
You realize how gay you sounded when you said maintain order?
Is that
maintain order in a small community, because that's all we want is a small community.
Order is a natural thing, in all honesty. It's just that the artificial order that we have now is not. So I understand what he's meaning.
Okay, so why is capitalism bad?
Okay, so I could go for like the effect, like how effective it is and like how productive it is, or I can go for like the stereotypical it's exploitation argument, which I'm probably going to go for both, but my main one is probably the whole productivity of it compared to things like co-ops and market socialism. But I'm not completely against markets. There's a lot of leftists and anarchists who are, and I just think it's kind of stupid because markets are pretty damn effective, as we can tell, because it's worked for the existence of man, so it seems like they're doing something right.
And I completely agree. I think that the markets are, it's a phenomenon of man, in all honesty. I know the only way I can derive it in a logical premise is from, like, I think it's Hayek, praxeology is what it's called. It's the axiomatic process of man. But I want to hear how your markets would be set up if there is no such form as quote-unquote capitalism.
Well, preferably a market system, at least in my opinion, should operate where there is no, well, I guess you could say no economic hierarchy or anything, but it's not essentially just economic hierarchy. I'd say basically just co-ops and such, like small or big. Other than that, I don't see any specific preferences.
Okay. So you hierarchy, I caught on to that. Are you an egalitarian? Do you believe in complete equality, utter and almost, or absolute?
It'd be preferable, but it's stupid to think that that's possible, and there's no way that that will ever be possible. So, I mean, it should be a goal, but at the same time, it's obvious that that's not ever going to be possible. It's not natural in any way, so
yes, sir.
The idea of it in general is it's never going to work. You can't have that.
Okay, so you then suppose that like a syndicate, like a commune, as you were speaking of cooperation of like equal pay. Do you believe like equal wages for all means of production?
When it comes to talking about markets, I think that different jobs definitely need different pay, and that different workers are going to get different pay, because at least in my opinion, you should just be paid based on your labor and how hard you work and how good you actually do your job. And
okay,
to believe in like equal wages for every job, I don't understand why somebody would believe that. I've never met somebody who's unironically said something like that, that they believe that. And if I did, I'd probably be pretty disappointed because there's no justification for that.
Okay. Well, that, I'm glad you recognize that, but I guess I'm a little confused on the terms of what sort of, I guess, socialist approach are you trying to take then if we are getting unequal wages?
Although I mean, most socialists would say that it's not socialism, I'd say something like market socialism or mutualism, except mutualism is kind of convoluted. So I'd just say something like market socialism is preferable.
Okay, can you explain that for some of our viewers who may not understand?
Also me, because I don't know what it is.
Market socialism is basically like, it's markets, except it takes out the capitalist aspect of like private ownership of the means of production from like an individual standpoint, and it has everybody who actually uses that means of production or business like operating the means of production. So essentially it's just co-ops with markets and nothing else, except most market socialists believe in like a state and stuff, which is like Titoists and stuff. And I don't really see the purpose in that, because a big co-op that's like nationwide is going to be way less effective and less ethical than one that's local.
Yeah. Okay. I understand that, but can I get your definition or what you may perceive capitalism as of now?
The private ownerships of the means of production for a profit, usually by like a single individual, is usually what I see it defined as, and I define it as myself.
Okay. Okay. I can understand that. That's a pretty reasonable explanation. But how would products and services be provided without any form of hierarchy and pure cooperation?
Well, I wouldn't say that like goods and resources and supply and demand, it has to have a hierarchy. I guess you could say that like the supplier or something, like the business, is the hierarchy compared to the consumers. But with that, I don't think that that's exclusive to capitalism. I think that's for every market system, that you're going to have a supply and demand. And I don't think it's exactly bad, because it's a natural thing.
It's so natural, yeah. Okay, so I guess what, to me, it sounds a little bit like you're just sort of like a voluntarist, man. Like I understand that you want cooperation and you don't want means of production to be owned by a sole contributor, but from all the studies that I've conducted, of which this is my life, I've seen that through anarcho voluntarism of, you know, communes of, let's say, ANCOMs and like cities of anarcho-capitalism, these means of production are all voluntarily gained by these natural hierarchies, which you said were natural. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, why are you anarcho-communistic, if what I have researched sounds very similar to what you have been talking about, except for the means of production not being owned by a sole proprietor?
I don't know where the line is drawn between voluntarism and market socialism, but I'd say the reason that I don't identify with voluntarism or like necessarily agree with it is that it's much more capitalist leaning and right winged, and it usually is a term used by ANCAPs and such, and I don't really think that the hierarchies in anarcho-capitalism in that form are exactly natural or justifiable, as in just cooperations of workers working together and rising, if that makes any sense.
Can you give me your reasons? I would love to hear them.
for the whole natural hierarchies thing, my reasons would be that in anarcho-capitalism, it kind of seems like you have somebody who's, it's way more likely in anarcho-capitalism that you have somebody who's born rich or born in an upper class that's able to actually pursue something and become wealthier, even if they're already wealthy, than somebody who's lower class because they have the resources available for them. Whereas in other systems, it isn't exactly like that.
Okay. I was recently, I just finished a bunch of Marx Engels theory and premise. And what I deducted through reading of like Samuel Kokin versus Marx and trying to collaborate the ideas is the class system. That is the biggest fucking conflict that our ideologies have. You just said that the class system is based into those who are born into that success, inherited almost, or they gain that. And then there's the workers, the proletariat, the bourgeoisie, the proletariat. What I think people need to understand is the class system is not divided so much into the worker and the what would you call it, parasite, almost as what you would say, but more of the status factor, those who benefit from the state as of current, and those who do not. And that falls much into like Rothbardian theory and such. But my reasoning behind that is when you look at the current forms of capitalism, or quote-unquote capitalism, I call it corporatism because it's not capitalism. When you look at corporatism, it is a perfect syndicate between a master over thousands of years between merchants and the state. Is you have your political caste of those who truly do not work in any form except for the state, and those who collaborate with them, which are the corporatists. And then you have those who are affected by it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, or trying to show you, is that this class system that that Marx worked so hard on is understandable. But when you delve deeper into it, the classes are truly broken into the political class and those who are affected by the state, instead of the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, the worker and the owner of all supplies.
At least under the current conditions, I understand that standpoint. I mean, that's essentially what's going on. But my main argument against like being anti-state and for like stateless capitalism is the fact that the primary goal of capitalism is to maximize profits and maximize how much you earn and just gaining more wealth. And if you have a few wealthy people in an area or across a nation, their main goal is like profit. So they're going to form some sort of economic oligarchy or try and form a state of sorts because they have more wealth and more power than everybody else, because that would be way more profitable to them than regular capitalism.
That's understandable.
Under our current system, it essentially is. There's the political class and then everybody else, essentially.
And I understand, and that makes sense. But also in terms of, let's say we are at that point of pure anarchy. You know, we are in our syndicates and communes. I think at that point, the sociological impact that the epistemological knowledge that we have derived at that time would not allow for these castes to form. One, out of market phenomenology of, you would not see your multi-billionaire corporatists in a anarcho-capitalistic world. Or I don't like to say that I'm a voluntarist. That's what I like. I'm a voluntarist. As long as you are performing involuntary contribution, I do not care. It is natural. But I do not think you would see these formations of these huge megacorp billionaires, because the market through, it's called creative destruction. I can't remember. It was Joseph something came up with the theory, would come with new product. And then in turn, through supply and demand, find this product better and or cheaper. And these people would then find this product more valuable and either make the A, the former, have to participate in better product and or management of said product, or B, go out of business. Creative destruction. They are destroyed. So then they lose their inheritance, their wealth, their whatever. So what I see is there would be no such thing as these few ruling classes that would like to create a plutarchic, aerocratic, you know, the formation of a state, so-called, like a landlord over a land, more of a, you know, cooperation, like you said, of these people, as long as it's all voluntary. I don't see the formations of these billionaires.
I mean, that's pretty agreeable, but it's still kind of a worry for me that a state or something close to it can still form in a smaller community, mainly because, at least in voluntarism and anarcho-capitalism and stuff, the whole... And now this is going to be pretty controversial, and it's going to take a lot of explaining to do, especially to you guys since you're like right-leaning anarchists, but at least in my mind, either way, it's still creating somewhat of an artificial hierarchy, because wage labor in general, just like tax, is something that is should be at least considered theft, at least in my opinion, because of how surplus value is just extracted and stuff. I mean, if you guys want me to explain, then...
Please do.
Okay, so nobody's probably explained it to you guys, because I see a lot of people who just ignore it and say somebody's stupid if they don't agree with them, and it's pretty dumb to do that. But the whole idea that wage labor is theft is that most people who take part in wage labor, most workers who work a job for a wage, are in general just poor, not poor, but like not wealthy, essentially. But they don't have the resources to start a business or to like start their own whatever, to buy any resources to start up a business or anything. And then they have to look for somebody else in the capitalist class to give them the resources and give them the means of production, because that person is wealthy and can afford that stuff, while everybody who's less fortunate or makes one mistake ends up having to work wage labor, which is just essentially the same idea as feudalism, where I give you a home if you work for me.
And I trust me, I've heard this before, and what I understand that you believe that it is in turn basically feudalism, and that there is no other option. You have no other option except to work or die. But then we can revert it all the way back to the natural process. I rely on pure nature for my logic, because if it's natural, there in turn cannot be bad. So according to right now, according to the terms of man, if we do not work, we die. And even in an anarcho whatever world, I still see that if you do not work, you die. It doesn't matter if you are cooperating through anarcho-communism or whatever your syndicate is, or through anarcho-capitalism. You still have to work or you will die. It's to me, it's the most highly ethical thing we have, because other species kill. They kill for their food. That's how you do it. And I understand that we kill for our food, but we're not killing each other for our food. We are cooperating for our necessary needs. So while this physical form is you and I, that's how I see it's going to be. There's going to have to be work. The way that I see the preferable, you know, proposition is that we can have the voluntarist world, where if you do not want to cooperate in a what you feel is a slavery serfdom sort of thing, sort of creation, then you can go with your anarcho-communistic communes and work and receive your wages as such, or your payments as such, whatever your value of medium of exchange is. But there will still be work according to whatever is needed for the time. Whatever incentive a man needs, they will create. And without some form of organization, whether it be through your commune saying, hey, look, Jim, you grow corn, you give it to me, and I'll give you some, like, I'll give you some wood. I'll give you some wood or something. I don't fucking care. There's going to be some form of barter, trading, market. That's the only issue that I run into, is it's such a natural process that as long as we manifest in this reality, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, I would never argue that capitalism is work or die, because that's literally for everything. You cannot exist without working to literally any extent. You could even argue that breathing itself is working. It's to the literally, you have to work to live in every sense, and especially in the sense of economically and such. I don't think that that's why capitalism is bad. I think it's the way that you work and how the relationship, like, with working and stuff is what's bad, not inherently work or die, because that's literally any system. You could say that about anything. The whole thing is essentially just you have a class that has money and then has the ability to start businesses and such, and then you have people who can't, and because of that they have to work for wage labor where they're not getting the full value of their labor. And not even that, with that argument, it just, I guess I could see capitalism way better if there's an abolition of something like inheritance, because that's one of the main things that makes capitalism the whole class thing, where certain families stay on top and other ones stay below.
Okay.
I'm 100% for bartering. It may seem illogical, but like, even as from a market socialist point of view, I prefer bartering over like traditional currencies and stuff, and in general, all that stuff. I don't really see an issue with markets.
Okay.
If I may.
Oh no, you tip in.
Oh yeah, if I may. I see the beautiful thing of capitalism is if you are in the lower class, you can always work to be higher than where you started. I see that in my family. We started pretty low, and now we're higher up on the in the class system, for say, and especially in anarcho-capitalism, where we don't have a government, or we have minimal government, to where they can't like control the wages, such as minimum wage. Your employer can give you a wage, and if that wage that your employer gives you is not good enough, you could always move to a different employer and get a better wage to where it will help you move up higher into that system, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense, but I can refute you there, Rabbit. Even I can say that in our current system, it's all lobbying. You know, if you want to make it big, you're going to have to be somewhere in the state's hands.
Oh yeah, in our current system, if we had a smaller system of such anarcho-capitalist, I feel like it'd be better.
And I agree. Well, I mean, I'm an anarchist, so I agree. But I want to ask this, or I want to propose this, because when you said inheritance, this may be where I disagree with you. When you think of any species on Earth, what is the total and utter absolute of every species, and that's to create offspring and make sure they survive. Would anyone disagree with that?
No.
So, with inheritance, as much as it may seem unfair or even unnatural to the anarcho-communist, I believe that inheritance is nothing more than just another step in our ethical progression of this is how our species survives. This is how my offspring survives. So, in an anarcho-capitalistic or voluntarist, it's all voluntarist. I won't lie, I am a little drunk right now. But in a voluntarist world, I believe that inheritance is just another branch of what is the best means for my species to survive.
I'd agree with that, but my personal issue with inheritance isn't that it's not natural or that it's inherently bad. It's how it functions in capitalism, where inheritance on the level of workers or the middle class or lower class is perfectly fine in my eyes. But the issue is when you have corporates passing down a corporation to somebody who was just raised with a life of luxury and didn't work at all, because that's usually what happens when it comes to big businesses.
And they're hedonistic, and they're hedonistic. That's all I got. They're debauched. That's what I mean. They're hedonistic and debauched. They live in luxury, you know? But that's where I'll revert it back, all the way back to when I was saying, in an anarcho-capitalistic setting, I do not believe that these huge corporatists could form. Don't get me wrong. There will not be equality. That's not a thing. I don't believe in equality. But I don't think you'd see the megacorps that you see. I think you'd see forms of millionaires, you know, people who are living good. They're doing it right because they're sort of running the means of production, so to say, for my anarcho-communist viewers, who are probably none. But I think that you'd see on such a minor scale, when I mean such a minor scale, I like I said, they will come and go as fast as natural process comes. Causality will force them out of existence. In fact, I suggest a book called Let the Free Market Eat the Rich. It is one of the most logically deducted books I've ever read about how the formations of your corporates would come and die as fast as our lifetimes. You would not see Walmart. You would not see fucking Conoco or something like that. You see new spurts of these quick little millionaires that after like two or three generations, they're not a thing anymore. So I think the natural process will in turn have to form your own volition to create. Otherwise, you will die. That's all I had.
But with that, I kind of argue that even with market socialism, with co-ops or even agoras and such, with agorism, it's not necessarily like that much different than that idea, other than the fact that there's not a single owner, rather a collective of people working together.
Yeah. Well, then I argue this is not our current business, but is a ideological or a ideal cooperation of men still have hierarchy?
I mean, to an extent, yes, but I don't think that there's any unjustifiable hierarchy in that case. Usually the only hierarchies that come up in a co-op are people who've been there longer or people that know a bit more about something, which is completely justified because it's not a permanent hierarchy, because eventually they're going to leave that co-op and then somebody else is going to be that person that's been there the longest. Or everybody's going to learn what that one person knows eventually, since they work with them.
Which is understandable. I get what you mean. But would someone not else fill their position, or something? Maybe someone who has been with the company for, however long, you know, has a little accreditation, perhaps.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're not going to earn anything different or be in charge of anything. It's still going to be they're just another worker. It's just they know more or they've been there longer, so people trust them with more stuff and trust them to do stuff more.
Well, that's where I disagree. I've been elevated in positions in my work over the past month, and my work is not very big. It's a local little thing, you know, just a local little manufacturer. And I've seen pay raises, I've seen dividends, I've seen bonuses, I've seen treatment, I've seen all of it. And I started, you know, way bottom, bro. You know, I was just making things, and now I'm supervising things. I'm supervising a group of guys. I take care of it, and that's how I see it would form. You're when you do more work, usually, if I was doing more work, I'm not gonna work more unless I get paid, man. Like straight up, if he told me, yeah, you're supervising guys and you're, you know, running emails and you're doing this, I'd be like, all right, where's my pay increase? I don't want to do that. So what I see is, if you have a guy leave or whatever, or I can't remember completely what you said about a position being opening, you're going to see an increase in your end. Otherwise, there's no incentive for me to really do it.
Well, in a co-op and such, not all workers are going to make the same. That's where the difference is. It's essentially just you work harder or you're a better worker, you make more, but you don't have any actual hierarchy over the company.
Yeah.
Which is what I see is essentially the most moral and in a lot of ways natural way to do it, because I think both economic extremes are pretty unnatural. Even after reading Marx, I don't think that there's naturally going to be that end stage of communism when it comes to humans, because it's kind of idealistic, and it's just not a natural thing, because if it was natural, it's something that could have happened way sooner than now than what was proposed.
That that there would be no hierarchy in the market or in a business place? Like, not hierarchy, like what I mean was, what I'm trying to say is what you said of, you have hierarchy, but they have no, like, authority in their hierarchy.
Yeah.
Is that right? I do not have much authority, in all honesty. I oversee things, but I can't just tell people, like, what to do. You know, I think that you would see that very common. The only reason that these people have authority, per se, in higher positions is for those who, let's say, are slacking off, or let's say have not been performing. That is natural. That is natural because, again, it's natural for me to want the best product made by the best producer. So if I, my supervisor, saw my buddy sitting on his phone because he got bored or something, would it not be just for me to go over to him and say, hey, man, it's working time. You're getting paid.
I think that's completely justified in any system. I don't see any real issue with that.
All right. Well, that's all I had to propose. All right, Matt, what do you got to say?
I think Matt died.
Yeah, dude, Matt dipped for some reason.
He's like, fuck.
Wait, Matt dipped?
Yeah.
Looks like it.
He's not here. Man. BCR, you got anything to say? Or you just gonna lurk?
I think he's lurking.
Oh, I was definitely just lurking, but
Well, I gotta go soon. But clap. I enjoyed our talk. I really did.
Thank you very much. Talk. It was really productive.
I agree. I hope people listen and take some points from our sides.
I definitely took some points. Thank you, Agorist, or if I could.
Yes, to call me that, not my name. I don't want the
ever. Thank you, Agorist, for opening my mind just a bit more.
Because you do that. Both of you guys have kind of said a lot, and a lot of it I'll have to sit down and digest. I don't really have anything to talk about right now because I'm just still like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Economics and that, I don't know, the more philosophical and like theory topics are not my best, my best talking point. So usually when we cover them, I just kind of sit back and listen. So
that's why we have an eclectic group.
Uh-huh.
And the next podcast should be about economics and defeating the government, whether ANCAP or ANCOM.
Yes, sir. Yes, man, sir, I agree.
Sand would be gangster as fuck.
Rabbit, you're a fucking fiend. and a creature.
Creature. I am a creature. We are all creatures.
Speak for yourself, creature.
Creature.
Well, I think you're that smart. Might be is everyone good? Is everyone
I'm good?
This might be a shorter one.
Yeah.
That's pretty gangster.
All right. Well, let's go down the line then. Let's I'm at top.
Yeah.
I'm a Gorse for Liberty. You can follow me on Instagram at that name. I'm almost done with publishing that book that I promised like 4 months ago.
It's late.
Hurry up.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that'll be out soon.
Put it on Audible because my creature mind can't read it.
Okay. I'll do that.
Hey guys, it's Big Bad. I've been lurking because this, like I said before, this topic's like a little bit over my head, but hopefully I learned something and was able to keep it with me, and hope all of you did too. So. You can find me on Instagram at BigBad_Sep. Easy to find. Easy to follow.
Yeah, it's Rabbit. You know, I put a point out there. Kind of got shot down, but not too much. So that was cool. You can find me at micropeen, .actual on Instagram. So that's vibing. See y'all later whenever I'm back on. Probably next week. Because it sounds like we're going to have a cool episode. Okay, Ted, you can go.
Okay. I'm Tyler, and you can just go follow me at The Based Bassist.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I'll have to drop a follow on that just to get a different perspective on things, different point of view. So, well, I think it's been a productive podcast so
hell
far.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will be out not too long. My work season's kind of spooling up here, so that'll hopefully not throw too much of a wrench into recording, but it's been fun. We'll close her out here and hopefully, like I said, get this up before too long so everybody else can enjoy the wonderful talk about economics and capitalism versus, you know, communism, socialist, more, I don't,
yeah,
that well, type of system. So
see thanks. You
see you guys
sexies
later.
Later.
Peace out.
In that bitch.